for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for letting us be here in church. I thank you for those that have come to be here. And Lord, I know there's others that would like to be here but are not able, and we ask you to bless them this morning. And I'm sure there's others that could be here but just don't want to be. We ask you to help them. Lord, I thank you for each one present, and I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to have a clear mind. Help us, Lord, to be able to focus, pay attention to what your word says. God, help us to take it to heart, to make any application that we need to make. Lord, I pray, as I have so many times before, if there's somebody here that's lost, that this day would be their day of salvation. Lord, I realize more than ever that I can't save anybody. I can't do anything but just preach your word, and I ask you to help me to do that, and I pray that you would please give increase to the seed that's planted. I pray that souls would be saved and lives would be changed for your glory and honor. Help us to always be thankful, be mindful of your blessings. Most of all, we thank you today for our salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have forgiveness of sins. Thank you that we have heaven as our home. Lord, I pray that until we go to that home, you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to work till Jesus comes. And I pray all this in the name of Christ for his sake. Amen. In the verse here that we just read, a verse that we touched on very briefly during Sunday school, the Apostle Paul says, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And in the context, and as I've said many times before, it's always very important to pay attention to the context of a verse. And in the context, Paul is referring to what the Lord said to him during the night that had just passed. If you look back at verse 23 in this same chapter, you'll notice there Paul says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Verse 24, saying. So verse 24 is what was told to the apostle Paul. The Lord said through his angel, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. That was God's word. That was the message that he gave to the apostle Paul that night. And Paul's response to what was said is right there in verse 25. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul responds to what the Lord said by saying, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. And what Paul means is that he believed everything, not a few things, not the majority of things, just a couple of things, but he believed everything God said would come to pass exactly as God said it. And what that shows me, and hopefully what it shows you, is that Paul was a man of faith and confidence in the Word of God. In his mind, there was no question or doubt whatsoever about what God said. Now, there might have been other things that Paul questioned. There might have been other things that Paul doubted, but Paul was fully confident in what God said. As far as that went, there was no question in his mind. God said it, and as far as Paul was concerned, that settled it. There was no doubt in his mind at all. And this same confidence that was in Paul, I believe, should be found in every person that is saved by the grace of God. Amen? Every person who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior should be a Bible-believing Christian. Every one of us should believe what God says without question and without doubt. Just in case there's some of you who are wondering about the importance of believing what God says, let me hasten to remind you that where and how a person spends their eternity and the quality as well as the quantity of their life on earth is determined by whether or not they believe what God said. So what we're talking about this morning is not something that's trivial. We're not talking about something that's unimportant, something that you should just put in the back of your mind or on the back burner in your life and act like it's not really all that significant. You understand, I hope, this morning that how it's going to go with you in this life and in eternity is determined by whether or not you as an individual believe everything that God says. And no, I have not forgotten what I preached a few weeks ago about being a doer of the word. I believe it's very important that we be doers of the word. Amen. But folks, a person is not going to do what they don't believe, right? It's important that we do what we know is right, but a person's not going to do what they don't know. If they don't know it, there's no way they can do it. They have to have that knowledge, that understanding. They've got to know it. They've got to believe it, or there'll never come a time in their life when they begin to put that into practice. It's something they must believe. And in order for a person to believe what God says, they first of all have to know what God says, right? I can't believe it if I don't know it. And if I don't know it, I can't do it. Y'all understand the process there? A person's got to believe it, but to believe it, they got to know it. They got to know what God says in order to believe it and then to put it into practice. How is it that an individual comes to the place in their life where they know what God says? Well, let me give you just a couple of things to think about. First of all, let me say this. If you're going to know what God says, then you have to have a copy of what God says. Amen? I mean, I can't know what God says if I don't have a copy of what God says. I got to have a copy, and I want you to understand this morning, you can have a copy of what God has said. We still live in a world where you can go to the store and you can buy you a King James Bible. Amen? Now, it's getting harder. And if you go to a Christian bookstore and ask for a copy of the Bible, they're going to hand you everything but a copy of the Word of God. But I'm telling you, you can still find you one if you want one. You can still go get you a copy of what God says. And here is what you've got to understand. You got to wrap your head around it this morning. If you have a NIV, you don't have a copy of what God said. If you have a New American Standard Version, you don't have a copy of what God said. Listen to me. If you have a New King James Bible, you don't have a copy of what God said. Do you understand me? If you have what they call the Living Bible, which is more like a dead pile of trash, you don't have what God said. If you want to know what God said, you've got to get you a copy of what God said. And I realize that some of you think that I'm just old-fashioned and I'm crazy and I'm out there in left field. All right, you think what you will about me. But I'll be willing to go out on a limb and say that it's very unlikely not another person in this building has spent the hours and the time studying that like I have. And until you study it for yourself, you keep your mouth shut, okay? You don't be bad-mouthing me out of ignorance, all right? You study it for yourself, and I tell you what you'll find. You'll find that what Brother Keith's telling you is the truth. And it's sad to look around at the churches now. I'm talking about right here in Covenant County. You don't have to get outside of this county. You probably don't have to get outside of this community right here that we live in, the community of Red Level. You don't have to get out of it to find churches where a man stands in a pulpit proclaiming to preach the Word of God, and he's not even preaching out of a copy of the Word of God. It's preaching out of something else. And Christians all over just gobbling it up, hook, line, and sinker. It's really sad. Christians going along thinking they know what God says. They don't even have a copy of what God says. If you want to know what God said, you got to first of all get you a copy of what he said. And you can find you one if you want one. But then number two, not only do you have to get you a copy of it, second of all, you got to acquaint yourself with the copy of what God said. Amen? You got to spend some time in it. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to, as the Bible says, search the scriptures daily. You got to dig into it and memorize it and meditate it. Take it into you. You got to make sure that you put yourself in a position where you get to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God on a consistent basis. That's how you learn. That's how you come to the knowledge of what God said. And then once you acquire this knowledge, you have a choice to make. And your choice is this. Either you'll choose, as Paul, to believe everything that God said, or you'll choose not to believe what God said. What I want to get across to you this morning is that if you are saved, God wants you to be a Bible believer. He wants you to be confident. He wants you to believe every single word. I believe that we as God's people, of all the people on this entire planet, I mean, it's hard for me to fathom, and I've run across them through the years, these people that say they're God's children and God's servants, and they're constantly questioning and casting doubt in people's minds about what God said. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Us as God's people should be on the same page, amen, when it comes to what our Heavenly Father said. There ought not be any division or question about it. We ought to be on the same page. Every one of us that says we are saved should believe every single word in the Bible without question. No doubt whatsoever. Every jot, every tittle. We should never allow any circumstance, any trial, any tribulation, or any person, no matter how well-intended or supposedly well-educated they are, to cause us to question anything that is written between the two covers of this book right here. No matter who it is, we ought to believe it. Every single bit. People have asked me through the years, do you believe every single thing in the Bible? Every word of it. Every last word. You may hear me say a lot of things. You have heard me say a lot of things. I'm telling you what you're not going to hear me say unless I lose my mind, okay? You will never hear me stand in this pulpit or any other pulpit and say that word right there does not belong in the Bible. You're not going to hear me say that. But I'm telling you right now, y'all listening to me, there's preachers all over this country saying that very thing every time they stand in the pulpit and preach. They're telling people, well, I know that's what it says, but that's not what it should say, and this is really what it ought to say. They act like they know more than God. Their education has inflated their ego. You listen to me. Somebody has to be educated to be that dumb. You got to be. Nobody comes into this world not believing the Bible. Nobody is ever taught by the Holy Spirit to not believe the Bible. That is the work of the devil, okay? Not the work of God. The Holy Spirit will lead you always to believe what is written here in this book. Now, I don't want you to be deceived by other people. Don't listen to that. Don't let them flaunt their education. People used to tell me, and I've mentioned it before when I was in Bible college, for goodness sakes. People used to make fun of me. So if you make fun of me about what I believe, just get on the wagon, all right? You won't be the first. I used to have people make fun of me all the time. I had our dorm proctor. He'd tell me about how dumb I was. And he said, it'll be all right for you. You ain't going to ever do nothing but pastor a bunch of dumb country people anyway. That's what he'd tell me. So you come to the country, y'all just dumb. You know, you ain't got no sense. And you can, he'd say, you can use that old King Jimmy version when you're talking to them ignorant country people that don't know any better. You know, the last time that I heard about that fellow, I'm just serious I can be, he had lost his mind. He had. He's like an insane man now. He went crazy. You don't want to believe what God says? You want to mock and make light of people that do believe what God says? He may just scramble your brain to where you ain't got no sense at all, okay? Amen. He may just send you strong delusion to where you believe a lie and you crazy as a runover dog. He might just do that, all right? You and I as God's people need to have the confidence that that Paul had. Look at it again. God spoke to Paul, and he didn't have any question. He said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Is that how you feel this morning? It should be. You read it in this Bible right here. God says it. That ought to settle it. There ought not be any question in your mind whatsoever, and never let anybody else put question in your mind about what God says. Don't do that. You believe what God said. We ought to believe what God says about everything. Everything. No matter what he's talking about, I just believe God. Amen? I mean, whatever the subject matter is, if it's God that's talking, I'm just crazy and foolish enough to believe that God knows what he's talking about. And he doesn't need my help with helping him figure out what he needs to say. He knows what to say. He has said it. It's right here. And that's just the way it is. God has said it. And it settles it. Whatever he's talking about. Whenever you think about salvation, just want to talk about salvation. You just need to believe what God says about salvation. Amen? I'm talking about, first of all, the way you get it. When God says this is how you get saved, then you just need to believe that. Okay? You don't need to believe the lies of the devil that are being propagated by people all over who are deceived. You don't need to believe that you get to heaven, that you get salvation by works. That's not what God said, right? What God said is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Did y'all hear that? Now, who said that? God said that. You going to believe God or you going to believe somebody else? Well, I'm going to believe God. You don't get saved by doing good works. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How do you get saved? Well, according to what God says, you get saved by faith. That's how you get saved. We should believe that, okay? No question in our mind. We should believe God when he talks about how long our salvation lasts when it comes to this matter of security. I have had people throughout my Christian life do everything they can to talk me out of my salvation. Y'all ever run across them before? There's one on every corner, it seems like. You're happy and rejoicing in the fact that you're saved and on your way to heaven, and then you run up on some numbskull. Amen. Run up on some numbskull who evidently lost the joy of their salvation a long time ago and want you to be just as miserable as they are right now. So they try everything they can to tell you that if you don't live right after you get saved, you can't go to heaven. And the very person that tells you that is not living right after they got saved. How many of you have ever met someone who was perfect after they got saved? Sinless, are you? Would you stand up this morning? Anybody? I'll give you the floor right here. You can just tell every one of us how sinless you are now that you are saved. And then I'll take you over in the Bible to what God says about you. Where God says that if a man say he has not sinned, he is a liar. That's what God says, okay? Folks, what God says. What the Lord said in the Bible is, I know my sheep and I give unto them eternal life and they shall, what is it? What is it? Y'all say it. They shall never perish. Now, is that what the Lord said? Now, who you going to believe? You going to believe him or somebody else? He said, the Lord said, out of his own mouth, I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. Isn't that what he said? I'm going to go to the grave or up in there believing what God said about that, okay? I'm going to believe God when it comes to salvation. I'm going to believe God when it comes to his son. I'm not going to believe the made-up, misguided, blasphemous things that people in this world say about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe what this book says about him right here. That's what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that he was God manifest in the flesh, just like the Bible says. I'm going to believe that that word that was with God and was God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what the Bible says. God manifest in the flesh. I'm going to believe he was born of a virgin, just like the Bible says. I'm going to believe he lived a sinless life, just like God said. I'm going to believe he died a sacrificial death. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God. And that salvation only comes through him. That's what I'm going to believe, because that's what God said. I'm not just making this stuff up, okay? These are things that God said, and if God said it, that ought to settle it, finally and forever. Jesus Christ, only way to heaven. You get saved through faith, but it's faith in him. It's not just faith in whoever. It's faith in Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by him. I'm just going to believe what God said about his son. I'm going to believe what God said about the scriptures that I'm preaching from. Don't believe what God said. All scripture. Isn't that what it says? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much is inspired in the Bible? All of it. You know what the RV says there? The Revised Version says this. Check it out for yourself. It says, all scripture that is inspired of God is profitable. That the same thing, is it? One says, all scripture is given by inspiration. Isn't that what it says? Then one says, all scripture that is. You know what that implies? What that implies is that there's some scripture that's not inspired. If you got the one that is inspired, then okay, you're just fine. Let me ask you this. Who makes the determination about which one is inspired and which one isn't? That egghead that's talking to you? Amen. I'm having fun whether y'all are or not. That's right. He set himself up as God. He's the authority now. For me as a poor, pitiful old country bumpkin to understand what God says, I've got to now come grovel at his feet so he can tell me what scripture is inspired and what scripture is not inspired. And in case you think I'm just making all this stuff up, I approached one of my professors. This is a man that teaches in a Bible college. I approached him one day just playing dumb, just playing ignorant with him. And I said, Brother Jumper, that was his name. Dr. Jumper, I said, you told us today in our soul winning class that we need to know as much scripture as we can to be good soul winners. I said, I agree with that 100%. I said, but you know, I found that there's all these different books out here that call themselves Bibles. And I said, as I'm reading them, I find that they all say different stuff. I said, could you help me out with that? I said, which one's right? Which one's wrong? And he said, well, he said, you got some that are more reliable and more accurate than others. I said, okay. I said, can you tell me which ones are the most accurate and which ones are the most reliable? He said, well, this words out of his own mouth. He said, well, you got to rely on the scholars to do that for you. You know what that is? That's pure Catholicism is what that is. In a Baptist college that calls itself a Bible college. That's them setting themselves up as God. They're the authority. If I'm going to know what Bible is the right one, then I got to come talk to them. I got to rely on the scholars. I can't just get up in the morning and break open the bread of life and sit down and read the Word of God and feast at the Lord's table and enjoy everything that he said. I can't do that. I got to open up my Bible and wonder, well, did God really say that or not? I don't know if he said it or not. Folks, y'all following what I'm saying to you this morning? It's just nonsense, okay? You don't have to have any scholar anywhere tell you what God said. All you got to do is get you a King James Bible and open it up and start reading. You know what God said. I believe that. I believe it's all inspired. I believe it's alive. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is quick. That means alive. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. And this book here is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what it says about it. It's eternal. It's pure. I believe everything that God says about the scriptures. I believe what God says about sowing and reaping this morning. I believe the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe that's true. I believe if you sow bad, you're going to reap bad. If you sow good, you're going to reap good. We shall reap if we faint not, is what the Bible says. You keep doing good, sowing that good seed. It may not look like it, but somewhere down the road, you're going to get a harvest. You're going to reap something good if you're sowing good seed. But listen to me. If you're sowing bad seed this morning, you listening to me? You sowing your bad seed, you're going to get you a harvest one day. And it's not going to be a good harvest. Why do I believe that? Because that's what God said. I'm not making it up. I'm just giving it to you right out of the Bible. I believe these things because that's what God said. Not because I think I'm smarter than everybody in the world. I just read what the Bible says, and I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's why I believe. I believe this morning what God says about standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody I'm looking at here this morning is going to stand and give account of themselves to the Lord. I'm going to stand. Every Christian. Just because you're saved, you don't have to worry about going to hell, doesn't mean you're going to miss out on the judgment, friend. Does not the Bible say this? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't that what God said? I believe that. You better believe it. Because here's the thing about it. If you say, well, I don't believe that, I just choose not to believe it, it does not make it any less true. You're not hurting the Bible, okay? That's the thing that these infidels and non-believers need to get across with their arrogance. I don't believe that. I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't believe that. As if them saying I don't believe it makes it any less true, and their not believing it takes away from the Word of God in any fashion. You can say I don't believe I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you can believe that to the day you die. But guess what? One day, whether you believe it or not, you're going to find yourself standing at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, giving account of yourself. Whether you believe it or not, it's the truth. You better yourself by believing what God says, but you don't hurt the Bible by not believing it, okay? The Bible, God will be true and every man a liar. You just well believe what he said, because if you don't, it's going to come to pass anyway. I believe what Jesus Christ said, what the Bible says about the suffering of hell. Do you know of all the people in the Bible that talked about hell, Jesus Christ talked about it more than anybody? Did y'all know that? Study it for yourself. Of all the people in the Bible that talked about hell, Jesus Christ talked about hell more than anybody, more than anyone. And yet you got preachers all over who say, well, I'm just following Jesus, and I don't believe it's right to preach on hell. Okay. Well, if you're going to follow Jesus, then somewhere along the line you are going to preach on hell. You're going to tell somebody somewhere that there is a literal burning hell, and that people who die lost go to a literal burning hell. And while they're in that literal burning hell, they're going to suffer in agony and torment all throughout eternity. That's the truth. That's what the Lord says. We are to believe. We are to be Bible believers. Do you believe what Jesus said about hell? You believe it? Do you believe there's people in hell right now while we're in this service, enjoying this air-conditioned building? Do you believe there's people down there right now that are screaming and crying and begging for mercy and begging for a way out and begging for somebody just to take their finger and dip the tip of it in water and then come put that thing on their tongue because they are tormented in that flame? Do you believe that this morning? That's what Jesus said. I believe it. I believe every bit of it. Because that's what the Lord said. That's the reasoning, okay? People say, why do you believe what you believe? I do think it's important that you and I have reasoning for why we say we believe something. And to me, the greatest reasoning is this. I believe it, first and foremost, because the Lord said it. Now, you can go beyond that and you can give other reasons to explain why you believe something. But the bedrock, the foundation for why we should believe anything that we believe is not because it's in the church bylaws. It's not because it's in the constitution and bylaws of the church, okay? I've run across a whole lot of constitution and bylaws that didn't line up with the Bible, all right? And it doesn't matter if you great, 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 great whatever put it in there. She's wrong, okay, if it don't line up with the Bible. The foundation for why we believe what we do as individuals, why we say we believe what we believe as a church, the bedrock, the foundation is this right here. We believe it because God said so. That's why we believe it. We may go beyond there, but that's why we believe it. Let me say this, and I'm going to quit. I believe what the Lord said about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe it. Bible says there'd be scoffers who come in the last days saying, where's the promise of his coming? I'm not one of those scoffers. I believe he's coming back. I believe he's going to show up one day. In such an hour as you think not, he's going to show up one day. He's going to show up, first of all, to get his church. He's going to come back in the clouds, and he's going to take his church out. And that's when I'm going. Amen. Is that when you going? I'm going. I'm saved. And whether I'm still alive or I'm already gone when he shows up to get his church, I'm going to be with the Lord, okay? I don't say that with arrogance. People mistake it. When you have confidence, people mistake that for arrogance. They're like, well, he's just being arrogant. No, I'm not being arrogant. I'm just confident, not in myself. I'm confident in what God said. And folks, it is perfectly all right. It's not humility for you to walk around acting like you're ashamed to say this is what I believe. That is a false humility. Friend, it is all right for you as a believer to have confidence, to live with confidence saying, I know this is what's going to happen in my future because God said so. So I'm not being arrogant. When I tell you when Jesus Christ comes back for his church, I'm going, I'm not being arrogant. But I am being confident. And I'm not going to apologize to anybody for that confidence. I'm confident because that's what God says, okay? Not only is he going to come for his church, but 7 years later, at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come back down here to this earth. And let me tell you something. When he shows up down here that time, it's going to be a whole lot different than when he came to this earth the first time. When he comes down here to this earth the second time, nobody's going to spit in his face. Nobody's going to slap him. Nobody's going to mock him. Nobody's going to crucify him. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to make everything right that is so wrong in this world down here. The government, thank God, will not be on Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton's shoulders when he comes back down here. It's going to be on his shoulders. And here's how it's going to be. We talk about a democracy. Let me tell you something. When he shows up down here, it's not going to be a democracy. You're not going to have a vote in anything. You're not going to be able to go to the polls and cast your lot. Here's how it's going to be when he comes back to this earth. He's going to show up and say, I'm God. This is how it's going to be. And if you don't like it, I'm going to take this rod of iron and I'm going to grind you to powder with it. You say, where'd you get that? I got everything that I just told you straight out of this Bible I'm preaching from. If somebody doesn't believe that, I'm sorry for them. I really am. But the truth is, he's coming back, friend. And when he comes back to this earth, he's going to make everything right that has gone so horribly wrong through all these years. But here's the thing. Before he comes back to this earth, he's going to come get me. I'm going. You going? Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If the trumpet sounded today, would you go be with him? Are you confident in that? Do you have assurance this morning that everything's right between you and the Lord? Not confident because you think you're living good and doing good and all your good works is going to outweigh your bad ones. No. Confident that God sent his Son, just like this Bible says, to die on a cross for your sins, to rise again the third day. And if you will trust him and him alone, he'll give you eternal life. You confident in that? If you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, can I speak plainly with you? You are a buffoon. You hear me? If you are not confident in your salvation, you are a buffoon if you get up and leave this service without making sure that if Jesus come today, you'd go be with him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, thankful, Lord, for the word of God. I'm thankful for the truth. Thankful, Lord, that you haven't left us down here hopeless. Lord, we don't have to walk around every day wondering what's right and what's wrong, what's going to happen. But we have absolute truth upon which to stand. Thank you for that firm foundation, for the hope it gives us. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that's not saved, please, Lord, please, I ask that you work in their heart, put them under such conviction that they cannot leave without getting saved. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.